Well, hey, everybody. We are here with Pastor Rich. As many of you know, we're still in our season of sabbatical. So I hope that these are finding root in your heart. These little pre-game, post-game things that we're doing for you as a church. And funny enough, I've had a conversation with a few of you that were volunteers, and you actually really loved these because it gave you context. If you weren't able because you were serving the previous week, it kind of gave you an idea of what was talked about before, so you have context walking in that next Sunday. So hope that these continue to be of great value for you. We are still working on getting them with Pastor Carlos in Espanol, so that should be coming very soon, wherever he is in the world. But right now we've got Pastor Rich. We just had a sermon on spiritual warfare, still going through the book of Nehemiah. And then after camp, you guys get to deal with me, actually, a couple of weeks. So that should be nice and fun. But Pastor Rich, let's just start with last week. What are some of those kind of main high points from last week that you think you really wanted people to walk away with?
Well, last week was about they finished the wall. And because they finished the wall, you get into Nehemiah 7. Now what Nehemiah's challenge is to they finish the task that we read about for so much in the first of the book, but now there's the next phase. And that was the title of the message last week. What is the next phase and how do you go into that? People have to understand, and we all have to understand, that God is always putting us to something next. God is moving. He's always moving forward. And so Nehemiah got the wall built. They did it in 52 days. We see that at the end of six. And now he has to encourage the community to begin to repopulate inside the walls because they were all living in their towns outside. And you'll see that later in Nehemiah. But then also to continue with the disciplines of protecting the wall. And he had to assign them to do that. And the guards, the gates were all up, putting everybody in their places to do the disciplines that got them there. Nehemiah had to come in and change an entire culture of people. And that's really what God's trying to do here in the whole book. And we'll talk more about that in next week. But, you know, he's to get you to stay where you're at and to move forward, you can't just accomplish something and then say, I'm done. I don't need to do all that stuff anymore. And right. A lot of times people in life just kind of like say, okay, I've done it. I've accomplished it. That's it. And in Christianity, in our spiritual life, you really can't do that because God is constantly, we're not fully where we're at and we're not fully where we're going to be going. And so you have to understand, we all have to understand that we have to think about the next step. Always thinking about what is God doing next and what his ultimate purpose is in all of those things. And so that's what he's really trying to do. He's like, guys, we got to keep moving forward. God is doing something else. And so the wall's done. Great. That was hard, 52 days, a bunch of people yelling at us, throwing stones at us, threatening us, all those things. That's never going to go away. But now we got to do this. We're here to reestablish Israel. And this is the next phase we got to get into.
No, and that's what's really neat about that is that's kind of the language that we use in our church. I mean, if you go to our website, we are all about next steps. I mean, even if you're 95 years old, there is still a next step that you can take because you have never arrived until you're sitting next to the throne in heaven, right? And so, I mean, again, you're always analyzing what's the next step for you in your spiritual walk, in your pattern of giving. I mean, especially for us as we kind of evaluate our church coming out of this sabbatical, what would you kind of say are some of those next steps as we've taken a season to rest and we're looking forward to what God has next for us? What would you say is that big opportunity for people to start flooding toward?
Well, it's funny because, you know, as we were here this week and, you know, we've taken the whole week and shut it down like Christmas before on 4th of July in the past. Well, we didn't do that this week because we're in the middle of sabbatical. But it's so interesting to find people because we are still doing prep for like VBS and that. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff going on. But just having people try to rest and to think about the other things. That's what I really wanted to challenge those who are faithful to do the ministry every week and out that we're trying to give opportunity for this sabbatical for. Is like, you got to do... We need you to do this stuff. We're doing all these things, like what we're doing right now, to try and help you to focus and to, while you're resting physically, you're also preparing spiritually for what's next. And so for us coming up, you know, when we come out of sabbatical, we will have been through VBS, so we're technically kind of doing, going to be going into that a little early, but we're taking a week after that. But then we have a month, and then come September, Rooted starts back up again. And I'm really looking forward to Rooted to start back up in September. Really the purpose is to give us all new focus, new energy, to see what the fallout is in that. There's always, again, there's always something next. Sometimes you and I as leadership will know what that is. Sometimes God will just bring something and we have to adapt. As much as we like to plan in church life and we try and plan and lay things out, and you and Pastor Carlos are much more deliberate in that than I am. I'm much more of a spontaneous person, which I guess can be problematic sometimes, is just to take where God wants to go with it next. But we know we're going to do Rooted next in September, and I'm really looking forward to more people getting involved with that. And we're even going to do a new member class here in July, which sounds contradictory, but we have people who are wanting to engage in the life of our church that, in order to do that, you kind of have to be a member. There are certain things we'll allow you to do. There are certain things we won't allow you to do unless you're a member. And so we're trying to open that up, and we'll advertise that this week, and hopefully people can plug into it for that as well. So that's really what I want. I just people just to know that that they feel rested, that they feel that they talk to God in the whole thing, and okay, what's God telling you to do next? To have people say when we get together, I believe we're doing our Koinonia night that Sunday night after we're done. To say, okay, to really have a time where we say, okay, what did God do with you? Did you take solitude? Did you take the opportunity? I talked about that this week on my thing, Refresh with Rich, about some principles of solitude and why it's important. I'm kind of doing that here at the office today because there isn't anybody here to do that. And so those are challenging things. But at the end of the day, it's like, okay, I'm refreshed because I'm taking my refuge in God. I can come out and go forward. I can be about what God wants me to do here because I'm called to it and I'm energized and equipped to do it. That's a constant process for us. But that's really what I want to see out of that. This is so new for people that in some ways I really don't know what to expect. It's kind of new for me. I've heard about these things, but I've never done them. But it's so new for people to do this an intentional thing. To do this, because I've had a lot of guys say, well, I just do like deferred maintenance, or I just make sure the building's closed by. I do a lot of things so they can't get on the building in the first place. Well, we're doing a little bit more than that. We're even doing a little bit more than the people who do this that I know do this with all the things that we're trying to do, the devotionals and all that stuff. At that point, we'll probably come back and say, did we do too much?
No, and actually, the content that we've been putting out, people have really appreciated. And again, I think it just reinstills that hunger of you don't really know what you have until it's not there, you know. Right. You know, it reinstitutes that value of being together and not neglecting to be together, which nobody has. I mean, everybody has found ways of being together. And I mean,
it was great. I mean, I thought it went really well last Sunday, all things considered. Yep. Prepared for it. And it went really well.
Yeah, and everybody going to lunch afterward and things. And then just a couple of days ago, my house was full of ladies, you know, kind of reevaluating how we do kids ministry and getting, you know, these new volunteers and figuring out where they're going to be plugged in after they do the members course. So there's still life happening behind the scenes. And I think that's a valuable thing of when you do step away, you know, you can't always be the one working on the wall. You've got to take some time to reevaluate, to step away and see where the work needs to be. So that way you can be most effective. And that's why I think there's beauty in the series that we're going through, which oddly enough, we planned the series in Nehemiah long before the idea of a sabbatical ever happened. And the fact that that series lined up with this season is pretty remarkable. And I think quite funny. When we, at the men's breakfast, I led the devotional and it was in Jeremiah 29. And it's when Israel is being led into exile and God is saying, I will bring you back. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And that's amazing because we did that devotional. And what do you know? Now we're actually on Sunday mornings looking at that time when God brought them back and who God used and what God used to do that. So yeah. I think it is a great season. And we're about maybe about a little under halfway through, I guess, or maybe a third of the way through the sabbatical. So as we get ready for next Sunday, this will be your last Sunday for a few weeks, as you've got the 101 class, and then you're going to be working on some doctoral stuff down the hill. But for this Sunday, for a couple of days from now, where are we headed? What are some things that would be good for us to be mindful of as we kind of prepare our hearts for the sermon for God's Word on Monday or on Sunday?
Well, this week is called Spiritual Life, and it's really the ultimate reason like God's bringing all this together. We are part of a larger purpose. Nehemiah is as important as he was and as important with the things he did. It's a larger thing. It's about the spiritual life of Israel being restored and rebuilt. And we see that Nehemiah 8 when they finally, well, I say finally, they come to the point where Ezra gets up in front of everybody and they read the word. And it just reminds all of us that God is ultimately about restoring and rebuilding, and he's about restoring and rebuilding spiritually. And if we take care of the spirit, God helps us to take care of the emotional, the physical, the wholeness to holiness concept that I've kind of been trying to communicate through the sabbatical time, which is kind of funny how that whole thing worked out as well. So that's what we're looking at, really, how Ezra had what they did. They got up. He read it. They stood for 5 to 6 hours as he read the first five books, you know, read the Torah and all that good stuff. The interesting thing is anybody who could listen and understand. So it was male, female, young and old alike. And they stood and they heard it. And then they responded to it. And then the next day, you had the other guys split them into what I call in the sermon Old Testament small groups. And they do the same thing. It's a lot of Ezra 8 is how we do church in our modern vernacular. Ezra was sharing the word, explaining the word, expositional preaching, whatever you want to call it. He's standing on a pedestal. If you go to some older churches, you see where the pulpit area is like this elevated place. That's where they get this from. And so just how God uses the word. If we're about rebuilding and restoring, he uses his word. And so I talk a lot about the importance of the Bible, importance of reading the Bible, how God uses Jesus's work on the cross. He uses his word and his spirit and the spirit. All of those three elements come together to bring about transformation, which is restoration and rebuilding. So it's building the spiritual life of Israel, which is the most important thing that God is trying to do within them. So we're going to talk a lot about that and how it incorporates into the life of our church. We value the Bible. I'm going to talk about it. We have two core values that relate to the Bible, you know, but transformation and then the Bible is perfect in what it says. It's inerrant. That's the big word that we use. And so it's a chance for us to remind people of the importance of being in the Word, reading the Word, being a part. It's a chance to promote what we're doing with Rooted or any other small groups that are developing as we speak, as we're talking here. There's small groups being developed in homes all around us. God is moving in different ways with people because of the fact that we said we're taking a sabbatical. Responding to that kind of thing. And so it's a chance to just kind of review that and just to remind people of the importance of it. You know, I was watching, and I'll stop with this, Tim, because I really thought about it. Man, if I can get Manny to show this, if he can able to do this, I don't know. I saw a few years ago when they showed that plane going into that tribe in Papua, Indonesia, and they get the New Testament flown in on these Cessna for the first time in their language. And they see the plane coming in and they have this whole celebration and the pastors are talking about it. And these are all, this whole community is Christians, but they have no Bible in their own language.
Wow.
And so, and their response to that, and, you know, kind of, you know, as a challenge for us, we got more Bibles than we can shake a stick at in this country. And we got more translations and all kinds. And I don't remember any of us anytime recently having a whole big party because we got a bunch of new Bibles. and just the power of that. You go to China and you see Bibles being distributed in China, in these remote provinces where most of the Christians are living. And walking miles to get their copy of God's word in Chinese, which is an interesting.
We even just heard recently at Secret Church, we heard a story of out in Afghanistan, Christians walking for hours and reading the Bible for hours out mm-hmm. in the middle of the desert because they have one Bible that they hide inside of a cave. You know, that's happening today, like as we speak. And yet our Bibles, unfortunately, a lot of times are glorified paperweights unfortunately collecting dust. So, and especially, you know, when you consider how accessible God's word is to us in our current context, you can literally just download the app and read that. And we've had people doing that. We have people going through reading plans together during this sabbatical. But yeah, that hunger has to be there. I agree.
And there's just a, I think in our world today, because we're so audible and visual, reading, the art of reading, however, is minimized for a lot of people. I even have with my Bible program, I use Logos. Many people may know what that is. I now am able to take my phone in my Logos app on my phone, and if I have a book already, I can scan the ISDN code on the back of that book, and I may not have it in my Logos thing, but since I already own a hard copy of it, it will, and if they have it too, they'll automatically add it to my library if it's not already in there. And so we're reading, and so people read all the time. That's what's so fascinating to me. People read all the time. It's just what you choose to read and how you choose to read it. And now with like the YouVersion app, you can listen and read at the same time if you're both. I know a lot of people that do that. The Bible is what God uses to transform our life. It's the sword, living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Spirit uses the word to bring about conviction and confession and repentance. And if you're not putting yourself in a place for God to speak through that, if you're looking for God to speak to you constantly through the winds of the life around you, when you already come to me and come to you and they say they already got too much noise in their head, they can't even hear God, read His word. You're going to hear Him directly every single time.
I love it. Well, that's where we're headed this coming Sunday, really focusing a lot on God's word and the transformation. And hopefully we don't have to stand up for 6 hours as we read God's word on Sunday morning.
We did debate taking out the chairs.
Yeah, but thankfully the debate ended and you'll be able to sit down. But hey, if you feel like standing up for the whole sermon, maybe we could do that. Maybe
we got that room in the back. They can stand in the back.
Yeah, stand in the back. Well, hey, thanks, Pastor Rich, so much for your time. We really look forward to having you all join us at either our 8:30, 10:15, or 12 o'clock service. We'd love to have you. We really look forward to seeing you. So thanks so much for your time again, Pastor Rich.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
All right, we'll see you guys all this coming Sunday. Have a great day.